Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on drmarakarpel.com. That's every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And today is Sunday, November the 20th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas, where the weather is gorgeous, sunny, and just cool enough. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is with us to make the show run. And we have a great program scheduled for you this evening, as usual. And our guest, who will be here in just a few moments, right here in the studio with me, is Meredith Hammond, founder and clinical director at North Austin Music Therapy. And she's going to be here in the studio to talk about the power of music to transform lives and alter neurological functioning and processing for the elderly and for the rest of us. And we're actually going to be videotaping that interview so that you can take a look at it, watch it on Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com, later after it's edited. So that one is not live, but you'll be able to see that later when you go to Vimeo. And also later in the program, Jim Oliphant of the musical duo Red Top will be back once again to join us from Virginia to talk about what Ragtop is up to. And since the last time we spoke to them, they seem like they're a regular annual guest on the program. So they'll be letting us know what they've been up to since the last time they were on, and we'll be playing some of their latest music. And I will also revisit the very important topic of fall prevention, as well as talk about the power of gratitude, since Thanksgiving is coming up this week. And gratitude is really a powerful way of dealing with stress. So I will be talking about that later in the program. And throughout this evening's show, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is drmara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and my Twitter address is MARAEK. And if you do have a question for my guest, please be sure to call or email or tweet your question while she's still here. Sometimes I get them a little bit late. And you can hear this evening's program again by going directly to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with any of the website links that my guests talk about on the program, will be posted later tonight. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the program ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, to listen to previous programs, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll also get all of the latest news about what's happening with this program, any upcoming programs, as well as getting the link to my blogs on Huffington Post. And whenever they are published, I post the link on my Facebook page. And if you want to see any of the previous posts, go directly to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and click on blogs or click on publications, and all of my Huffington Post blogs are there. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few years, have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of my time, I use an office in a wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website, heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me, ask me about the program or anything else, you can send me an email to Dr. Mara at drmara at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can give him a call at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This evening's program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break. We're going to play a few commercials. And when we come back, Meredith Hammonds will be right here in the studio to talk about music therapy and the benefits of music therapy for anyone, and especially for anyone dealing with neurological issues and for the elderly. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Go.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
All right, and we are here in the studio with my guest, Meredith Hammonds, who is the clinical director of North Austin Music Therapy. And she's here to talk about music therapy, what it is, and how it can help people. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
So, Meredith, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what your background is?
Okay. I started studying piano when I was about 4 and a half, and I studied classical piano all the way through college. I chose to major in music therapy in college because I loved music and I loved helping people, and I really wanted to be able to combine those. In order to be a music therapist, it is a 4-year degree program and then an internship, and then you pass the board exam. So I went through all those steps and became board certified in 2008.
Okay, and you founded North Austin?
Yes, I did, in 2010.
Okay. So what is music therapy?
That's a question I get asked a lot. I've been getting asked ever since I declared it as a major.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, music therapy is using music to treat non-musical problems. So we're a lot less concerned with how well a client can play the drum or how well they can sing. We're always looking at the outside musical goal, like increasing range of motion or clearer articulation in speech. So essentially, when a client comes to me or comes to my company for services, we do an assessment just like any other therapist,
mm-hmm.
figure out what their strengths are, figure out where their challenges are, and then we create musical exercises designed to meet those non-musical challenges, whether they're cognitive, whether they're motor goals, whether they're social skills.
So it's not just listening to music, it's actually having them play
yes.
an instrument.
Absolutely. Sometimes listening to music can be a small part of it, but most of the time we're actively engaging clients in music making in some way or another.
Okay. So what sort of problems do you...
Well, at my company, we have two main specialties right now. We serve children with a variety of developmental disorders all the way from very young. I think the youngest I've started is 18 months.
Wow.
Up through adults and young adults that have usually a lot of autism, sometimes Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, or a whole mix. And those clients we see individually, we work intensively one-on-one with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of the company, I developed a program for older adults. It was my passion since high school, and I really wanted to do something with that. And so I created the Music Engage Seniors program. It was the first program we created with the company.
Uh-huh.
And we work with older adults primarily in group settings and retirement communities, but also individually as well.
Okay. All right. And what is that program? Really
the Musically Engaged Seniors program. Basically, it allows retirement communities to hire music therapists on a contract basis,
mm-hmm.
Which is a lot more affordable. There's no places that have here in the area a full-time music therapist on staff.
Right.
But they're able to hire us to come in on a contract basis and do groups for their residents. And we do groups of a variety of sizes, and we're able to tailor the groups. We work everywhere from skilled nursing units and memory care units,
mm-hmm.
all the way up even through independent living communities and some state programs as well.
Okay. All right. So we were talking earlier before the program
yes.
about some of the issues that you deal with in
yeah.
music therapy. And
absolutely.
You talked about some of the neurological
yes.
issues.
I'm trained in neurologic music therapy, which is a specialization. Several of the other therapists that work at my company are also trained in that. And basically, the premise is and the research is that music's the only sensory input that's processed in all areas of your brain simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it very, very powerful for treatment because when you're dealing with neurological challenges where one area of the brain has been damaged or some parts of the brain haven't developed correctly from birth, we're able to kind of tap into the power of music and use it as a bridge to retrain other areas of the brain to take over. I know neuroplasticity has been very hot lately.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are talking about it, and music is basically used as a tool to help tap into your brain's ability to reshape and regrow
yeah.
after an injury.
So I don't know if this fits with, I bet it does. Okay, so when I've gone to nursing homes, you know, I've worked in nursing homes for many years on assisted living
mm-hmm.
and some independent living,
in all of those settings, I've seen residents who have dementia or Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And I've noticed that some of the residents who don't remember even what they just said, right?
Yeah.
They ask the same question many times, remember words, songs that they knew many years ago, and the music comes on and they will just start singing and they know the words better than anybody
yeah.
else.
It's a classic story. We hear it all the time, but I think hearing it all the time never detracts from the power of seeing in person.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is actually heavily supported by the research. They find that musical memories do remain intact much longer than other memories, and they're very much out of proportion with an individual's cognitive function. So if
right.
they're testing a cognitive function level here, their musical skills and musical memory are still testing up here.
Wow.
And I think a lot of that is because of the way music's processed in the brain. But practically speaking, they are able to recall song lyrics, and a lot of times once you get them engaged in singing and engaged in music, they're able to recall memories associated with that song. And this, I think, is one of the most important things that we
wow.
do. Because when we're talking about dementia, when we're talking about Alzheimer's, essentially it's not just that they can't remember where their glasses are or they don't remember that you're their daughter. They're essentially forgetting who they are,
mm-hmm.
and they're losing their identity. And I can't imagine how depressing and terrifying that's got to be. But when you can get them engaged in music that they love, they're able to kind of remember and to recall, oh, this is who I am, and this is why it's so important we do that. I think the other side of it, which we see a lot less in the media, I feel we see that a lot, you know, oh, they sang all the words, they told me about their childhood, is I've worked with people with dementia that are kind of one step beyond that regressed-wise, and they will move, they will tap their toes, they will dance, but they're no longer able to sing lyrics to songs. They will sing, but a lot of it comes out as word salad or not quite making sense. But what always amazes me is to see how well their response is still to rhythm. I've seen it multiple times, particularly a couple gentlemen I've worked with in a group, and they just love being part of the music. But you ask them a question, even when they're fully engaged, and they're still not able to recall the memories. But when you do drumming with them, they actually have great rhythm, and they get really
mm-hmm.
into it. And there's been a couple times where I've had them come up and lead the entire group. And they're not just participating. They're taking on a leadership
wow.
role, which is helping them decrease that social interaction, social isolation, and increase the social interaction with their peers. And in watching them with that moment, you wouldn't even know that they were suffering so severely from dementia until they quit drumming and can't find their chair, and I have to physically guide them, turn them around, and remind them that they have to
wow.
sit. And that's when you see the disparity between what they're able to do with them in music and what they're able to do just
so
on their own.
So does some of that, when they have that frequent experience of being able to master something like that, does some of that generalize to their own life? Does it help a little bit?
I would say yes. I mean, okay. I don't always know. Sometimes a lot in my work, I'm not always privy to how things are going at home because I'm seeing clients that are in a retirement community or they're in a day program, but they're away from their home environment. But I think if it was me personally, just having that experience of being able to interact with my peers, of getting the feedback, and you can see on their faces that they know they're leading and they know they're doing a good
mm-hmm.
job and they're receiving that positive reinforcement from everyone around them, that has to make a difference. Because I think none of us ever want to get to a place where we feel that we have nothing to give.
Right.
And you don't have to give 24 hours a day. You know, you have to have experiences where you're able to give and then you can go home and, you know, relax
mm-hmm.
and rest and go about your day. But you're still renewed by the fact that you have something to give to others
right.
and they're there to receive it.
And I think one of the things that I found working with someone with dementia is they may not remember experiences, but they remember
Absolutely.
Emotions.
They do. And we see those emotions, you know, play out. And if they've had a rough day full of frustration, they might not be able to tell you that, but you're going to see more aggressive behavior. You're going to
mm-hmm.
see them resistant to going through their, you know, daily routines. But when they've had those positive experiences, they're less likely to display those. And we do actually see that a lot in studies. They've done studies that track people after they've been involved in music therapy sessions and find that, hey, they've got less wandering,
mm-hmm.
they have less aggressive behaviors, they're overall calmer. Even though you can't really measure what's going on, you can just say, hey, they did music therapy, now they're having more positive behavior,
right.
Which means they're in a more positive place emotionally because, of course, that behavior is coming from somewhere.
Right, right. That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. So.
That's wonderful that you're doing that. I didn't realize that music therapy was that. And I've seen, witness this for myself, like I said, but I've never seen it used as an actual...
Well, and I think that's our tool because a lot of people have witnessed it. And there's a lot of products and programs designed to give people music to listen to enjoy. But what the difference is when you're bringing in a board-certified music therapist, our job is to tap into that and take it as far as we can.
Right.
And whether that's delving into memories, whether that's getting them to actively move, I've got a lot of clients, they just need to move, and they need help, and they need encouragement, they need a trained therapist to get in there with the rhythm to help. But our job is to not just, oh, this was a great reaction. Our job is always to start there and then see how far we can take them.
Let me see if that was a question coming in. Nope, not a question. Okay. The emails are open, so people have questions.
Yeah.
So you mentioned also before the show about Parkinson's. And
I mean, I kind of would lump it together with Parkinson's, stroke, anything that's degenerative neurologically, or if you're talking about, a traumatic accident or TBI or stroke, it's kind of the same research and the same theory behind the practice. Which is basically, again, with that neuroplasticity and with music being processed in all areas of the brain, that it can act as a bridge to take over. So, for instance, with Parkinson's, a lot of our big emphasis is on movement and gait. We're able to assess them. We use metronomes. They're not very interesting. I always sing over it to make it more interesting. But it's about helping them lock into that beat, and when their body entrains to the beat and moves, it helps them move more evenly, which is going to reduce falls. It's going to feel a lot easier because the whole movement cycle is synced with the music. And, of course, they're going to feel more confident. A lot of times they don't want to walk because they feel unsteady and they're scared they're going to fall. But then to extend that a little bit, when we're talking stroke or other areas where perhaps this area of the brain that controls speech is damaged, it's the same principle. Music and speech share some neurological networks, but they also have distinct neurological networks. So it's a matter of using music to retrain a different area of the brain to take over for speech. Probably the most famous example, of course, Gabby Giffords received music therapy and was very vocal about it after her accident. But it's something that a lot of music therapists are doing with a lot of clients as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. So, I know you work with a lot of people who have impairments in these areas. Are there recommendations that you can make to listeners to help to, increase their memory or prevent from having declining memory as they age?
Well, I think the more you use your brain, it's just like exercising any other muscle. You want to be able to give yourself new experiences. You want to give yourself challenging experiences. And I would also like to speak to caregivers. That's a question that we get a lot is caregivers, whether they're a professional caregiver or whether they're a family member. And they'll say, well, how can I use music to help my mom or how can I use music to help this resident? And I would say, I think first of all, just use music. Please use some music.
Right.
Find some music. If you don't know what to play, aim for music that was popular when they were in their late teens and early 20s. Those are usually some of the strongest memories, some of the formative years when people were in school, the getting married, starting families, and usually we'll see the strongest associations. And just see and watch the reactions and see, if they like it, if they don't like it.
So you're talking about playing music rather than having them play an instrument.
Well, I think a lot of people, if you say have them play an instrument and they're not trained, it's very challenging.
Right.
But I'm saying anybody, with the iPods and iPhones and computers, it's very easy to access music. And I think it's something sometimes people just forget. They get in the midst of making arrangements, talking to nursing staff, worrying about medication, fall prevention, all these things. And sometimes they just forget, mom loves music. Play some music for mom.
Right.
See if she starts singing. See if she recalls some memories. And especially as a family member, if you can tap into that, you're in a great position to really draw those memories out because you know how to prompt them. Sometimes that's my thing. I can tell they're trying to get an idea, but if I don't know for sure, it's harder to prompt them. But, your parents, your loved ones, and kind of can help, help them access those memories a little bit more.
And I know that playing the music improves mood.
Yeah.
So it's really important. But you say the music that they like is especially important.
Yeah, I always get asked, I think all of us always hope for an easy magic solution.
Right.
So I frequently get asked, oh, what music is the best? What music is, you know, the most therapeutic? And the most simple answer to that is always going to be patient preference. It's what they like that's going to help reduce pain. It's what they like that's going to make them feel calm. They're going to want and engage in music that they like. If you play them something they don't like, they're just going to shut down. The same way you and I would. I mean, if I hear music I don't like, I'm like, oh, can I just change the channel? I'm not going to want to engage or get excited about it or feel good about it. So I think starting with patient preference is always the right answer.
Right. Okay. Yeah, my dad used to love music. And so... You know, he got into his 90s, and the way that he would make him, he was at the point where he could actually turn on his own music, but the way that he would make himself feel good was that he would turn on the music that he always knew and loved, you know, jazz, string quartets, and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are popular picks.
Right.
Quite frequently.
Yes, I'm sure you do. So how can people get in touch with you or find out more about North Austin?
You can always check out my website, northaustinmusictherapy.com. My email is listed on the contact page, so if anyone is listening to this after the show or has questions they didn't get in, I'm more than happy to answer questions, or even if you're interested, help you find a therapist, you know, in your area. They can also call me at 512-422-9694 for anyone that's local. But even if they're not, I'll get calls sometimes from other parts of the country that have heard me speak or this or that, and they'll say, hey, I live here, this is the situation with my mom, what should I do? And I'm always going to be happy to answer questions.
People. Let me just see if that was another question. No, it was not. Okay. So I'm going to post all that information on my web post about this program later tonight, so... If anybody missed that, they can just go to my website
and
they'll get it all there. Great. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me
on the program.
So I absolutely love what I do, so I always enjoy talking about it.
Yes, I can tell that you do. All right. Well, keep doing what you're doing. I think it's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
All right. You have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Okay. So we're going to take a break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell. Oh, getting a little feedback there. Okay. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpell.com. And that was really interesting. I learned a lot from that interview that with Meredith. I really didn't know some of those things. So I'm looking forward to having her back on the program so she can teach us some more and come up with some more practical tips for everyone, even if you are not going specifically for music therapy. All right. So before I go on to talk about some of the things that I wanted to, and then our musicians will be on, I first just to fill you in on some news. As I mentioned, this interview that I just did with Meredith Hammonds was being videotaped. And so when that videotape is edited, it will be uploaded to Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O. And if you go to Vimeo.com and put in a search for Your Golden Years, it will take you to my homepage where all of the videos that we have already uploaded, of all the interviews that we've done here in the studio, will be there, and there will be directions about how you can access them. So you'll be able to see that interview sometime soon, and all of the other interviews that have been uploaded are already there, so take a look. Also, my blogs in Huffington Post. The latest one was about relationships and making relationships work, and that was last month. If you haven't read it yet, you might want to take a look. And I have a new one coming out any day now, so keep your eyes open for my latest blog in Huffington Post, and you can find out when it is ready to read by being a fan of my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpell, Your Golden Years. I usually put the link the same day that it is hot off the presses. And if you want to take a look at all my other blogs, again, go to my website, Dr. Mara Carpell, drmaracarpell.com, sorry, is my website, and just click on blogs or publications, and you'll find all of my previous blogs on Huffington Post. All right, I think that's it for the news. Yeah, that is it for the news. So let me talk a little bit about an issue that is really important, and I've spoken about it before, but it is so important that I think it's something that needs to be repeated a little bit, and it's a very timely topic, and that is about falls. It has recently come to light that the cause of the untimely death of the talented poet, songwriter, and singer Leonard Cohen just a couple of weeks ago was caused by a fall. He fell. And this really struck a nerve for me because that's how I lost my father last year at 93 years old. A fall was absolutely devastating to him. And having worked in nursing homes and assisted living communities for many years, I have seen how lives have been dramatically changed due to a fall. And they can, and as I just said, falls can be fatal. But even if not, they can be devastating. And just a few weeks ago, if you were tuning in, you heard that I had recently fallen, and it was very easy. It's easy to fall in your own home, and that's where it happened. Most of the accidents that we have are in our own home. And I walked out my front door in a hurry, and I forgot that there was a step down. I don't usually walk out the front door. I usually walk out of the garage door. my hands were full, and I was thinking about what I needed to do and wasn't thinking about where I was walking or looking at where I was walking, and forgot about that step, and I flew through the air for a moment and landed knees first onto my cement porch. And luckily, the only damage was a skinned knee, and I quickly cleaned that up and went to work. But I felt really shaken because I know that a fall could have done a lot more damage. And I really was worried that the next day I was going to wake up with pain in my back, because in the past I would have, a fall like that would have shaken up my back and thrown it out. Luckily that didn't happen. And I believe that's because I've been working out lately. I've been doing a lot of core exercises. So that's one of the tips that I will give to you, is that exercising regularly not just helps with preventing falls, but if you do have a fall, it does help at least somewhat with preventing a more serious injury, because your muscles are stronger and you can catch yourself easier, and the muscles hold everything in place, so you're less likely to throw yourself out of alignment, which something that I normally would have done with my back. And luckily, because I do these back strengthening exercises, my back did not go out of alignment. So, you know, I kept thinking about what happened that led up to that fall. And I know that I had been feeling pretty depleted, that I had been feeling stressed out about things in my life and in the world. I had even been stressed out about good things like getting my book finished and getting to work and doing the things that I do at work. And I really hadn't been taking care of myself and dealing with the stress, and had let my mind really wander and think about all those things that I had to do or things that had just happened. And my hands were full. I tried to make it out the door all in one trip, carrying several things, and I was really behaving mindlessly rather than with mindfulness, and it literally brought me to my knees. So, you know, for me, it turned out not to be a dangerous situation. It could have been, even at my age, you know, and even with exercise, it could have gone much worse. But I was very lucky. And for an older person with brittle bones or weak blood vessels even, that was the situation with my dad. He didn't really hit anything when he fell, but he shook enough that it caused a bleed in his brain. I don't know what happened with Leonard Cohen. I don't know the circumstances around his fall. But when an older person falls, it can be very life-altering. And this isn't to scare you, but it's to make the point that the best way to prevent such injuries is to prevent the fall in the first place. So here are some ways of preventing falls. Well, first of all, before I even get to that, let me give you some statistics about falls. Falls are the leading cause of injury-related visits to the emergency room in the U.S. So it's the top cause of why people end up in the emergency room, and it's the primary cause of accidental death in people over age 65. So it is the number one cause of death in people over age 65, aside from illness and things of that sort, but accidental death. And 24% of trauma fatalities for all groups occurs in this group, people over 65. And 35% to 40% of adults 65 years old and older who are generally in good health fall at least once a year. So even those people who are in good health in that age group will fall, 35 to 40% will fall at least once a year. And compared with a younger population, 5% of the individuals who fall require hospitalization. And as people age, the frequency of falls and deaths related to falls rises. In people 65 years of age and over, falls are the cause of death in 75% of incidences. So, you know, the reason that falls can be so dangerous is that they obviously can cause fractures, which are the most serious injury that's usually associated with falls. Falls account for 87% of all the fractured bones for people over the age of 65. And the most common fractures are those of the hip, the pelvis, the spine, the hand, and the wrist. Falls are also the second leading cause of spinal cord and brain injury in the older population. So, a hip fracture is devastating in an older person. The injury will most likely require a 10-day to 2-week hospitalization. It affects their personal independence and most often results in being admitted to a nursing home or a rehab facility. And nearly half of all the people who suffer a hip fracture can no longer live independently, and 25% actually will pass away 6 months after the injury. So that's how serious a hip fracture can be. Older adults who have fallen before often fear falling again, and because of that, they reduce their level of physical activity. So they stop walking as much, they stop exercising because they're afraid of falling. But the outcome of that is that it leads to a decline in physical condition and actually increases the risk of falling. So if you stop exercise, stop moving, you have a higher risk of falling. So the fear of falling can actually cause more falling. And so some of the risks of falling in an older person have to do with changes that occur in vision, in hearing, in reflexes, in coordination, and in strength. So if you can't see that well, you're more likely to trip over something. If you can't hear things coming toward you, you're more likely to get knocked over by them. If your reflexes are slower, you're more likely to fall and not be able to catch yourself when you lose your balance. And obviously coordination has a great deal to do with falling, and strength. If you're not strong enough to withstand knocking into something, you're more likely to fall over rather than regain your stance. And the other risk factors in older people have to do with illness. So if you have a chronic illness such as diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, or even strokes, that can affect your falling risk. And they make you weaker, it increases your instability on your feet and your lack of balance. And so I'm not going to get into all of the details about the different diseases or conditions and how they affect your falling, but just know that as you get older, there are many more risk factors that contribute to falling, in addition to the external factors like medication. So older people tend to be on medications for their health, and some of these medications cause dizziness or drowsiness, weakness, and that can increase the risk for falling. They cause changes in your blood pressure. So some medications will cause you to have low blood pressure if you stand up too quick, and people can then get dizzy from the low blood pressure and fall over. If somebody has difficulty with incontinence and they're constantly trying to get to the bathroom quickly, that can lead to a fall. Also, and some of the medications can actually increase that. So if somebody is on diuretics for high blood pressure, for example, they're more likely to have a harder time waiting to get to the bathroom. So that is one way that diuretics will increase the risk for falling. Also, antidepressant medications or tranquilizers, especially tranquilizers for anxiety, cause changes in alertness and cause increased fatigue. So that can cause you to have more difficulty falling. So here's some prevention, because that's really the most important thing. So 1/3 of older adults fall because of environmental hazards in the home. Most accidents occur in the home. And so some home hazards include objects that are in the pathway that they stumble over. If the lighting is poor and you can't see obstacles in the path, throw rugs that move when you step on them can cause falling. Loose carpeting as well. And also uneven floor surfaces or if the floor is wet. So most falls actually occur in the home if somebody stands on furniture or a ladder to try to reach for something or while going up and down the stairs. So it's really, really important to have a clear pathway. So, you know, if you can't do this yourself, get some help to clear the path in your living environment. Move things out of the way that you bump into a lot. Don't leave things on the floor. Put them away. Really, really important. If you can't see that well and you don't notice things when they fall on the floor, then make sure to have the lighting adjusted in your living, in your home, in your room, if you're living in an adult community, have brighter light. And another thing that I notice is, I've noticed some people, their light switch is by the door when they walk into the bedroom and they don't have a light by their bed. So they, when they go to bed at night, they turn the light off by the door and then have to walk in the dark to their bed. This is a very bad idea. Really important to have a light by the bed and to have that light on before you turn off the light by the door, so that you can walk to your bed, get into bed, and then turn off the light. And they do have remote light switches where you have a remote where you can turn it off, and that would work as well. But be sure that you have a light on until you get into your bed, because people do fall on the way to their bed. Throw rugs, you know, get rid of them. Don't have throw rugs in your home because you have a chance of tripping over them or slipping on them if they move around. If somebody's walking with a walker, a throw rug is an obstacle. It will catch on the walker or a cane. Or even if you're walking without a walker or a cane, throw rugs are a very big obstacle, as well as any kind of loose carpet. If you're walking from one room into the other and one room is not carpeted and then you walk into a room that has carpeting, that causes a risk of tripping over the edge of that carpet. So you need to work with somebody who can help you to to take care of that obstacle, which might mean getting rid of the carpet or having a carpet that has a more gradual type of progression, so you're not tripping over the carpeting. And, of course, be aware when floors are wet, not to walk on the floors, and don't climb on furniture. And I would really be careful about climbing on ladders, especially if you're a little unstable on your feet. You shouldn't be on a ladder at all. But if you do, if you're healthy and you're able to climb a ladder, I would recommend that you have somebody there spotting you, making sure the ladder is secure, and absolutely make sure the ladder is secure before you walk up the ladder. The other risk factor that people don't really think about is alcohol. You know, people do drink alcohol at all ages, and in an older person, alcohol is metabolized more slowly, so that the effect of a small amount of alcohol is much larger than for a younger person. And this will alter a person's perception of spaces. Depth perception, it changes with alcohol, as well as judgment, knowing what is a good idea and what's a bad idea. So this will increase the risk for falls. And then if you take medication and you drink alcohol, the interaction can cause a lot of fatigue and confusion, and that is a big risk factor for falls. And certainly, if you are going to enjoy a drink, have a glass of wine or a beer, don't drink too much, because drinking a lot of alcohol will have an effect on balance and coordination and alertness, and again, can cause falls. Don't get up too quickly from lying down or resting is another tip, because as I mentioned, some people have a quick decrease in blood pressure when they get up quickly, and then they can become dizzy and fall over. In terms of clothing and shoes, wear supportive low-heeled rubber-soled shoes so that you don't slide or lose your balance in your shoes. And be careful not to wear smooth-soled slippers or socks on smooth floors like wood or linoleum. And when you're outside, of course, use caution if it's wet or icy outside. Another tip is do not wear glasses that are meant for reading when you're performing other activities like walking. So don't wear your reading glasses while you're walking around your house, because it changes your perception and can lead to falling. So there are some internet sites that are available that can talk to you about helpful home modifications that you can have done for you. There are companies that will come in and help you with modifications. So let me take a look here. Let me find you some websites. The Administration on Aging is a website that is maintained by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and they provide resources, news, and information for older adults, including fall prevention and information on modification in homes. And you can find their website at aoa.dhhs.gov. That's aoa.dhhs.gov. And the Center for Communication and Consumer Services is a central source for a wide variety of information on aging. And the site provides internet links to fall-related information, especially prevention. And again, that's if you go to that same website, aoa.dhh.gov, then click /prof/notes/falls.asp. So I would just put in a Google search for the Center for Communication and Consumer Services, fall prevention, and it should take you to their web. That's a little easier. And then, of course, there's the Area Agencies on Aging, and they are in every location around the nation. And if you go to www.n, like Nancy, 4, like the number 4, A, N4A.org, then you can find your local Area Agency on Aging. And there is a lot of information about fall prevention, and even assistance if you need help in your home, as well as home modification. And one more, and that's the Doable Renewable Home. This is a comprehensive online publication that was written by AARP, and it provides information on how you can make your home more livable and help you to overcome challenges such as falling that may occur as you age. So they give you all the information that you need on home modification. And that website is www.homemods.org. All right. So, and one more tip that I want to give based on my experience. Be mindful. Think about what you're doing. Don't walk around in a daze. Don't think about what happened yesterday or an hour ago when you are engaging in an activity like even walking. Don't worry about the future. Think about all the list of things that you need to do. You need to be mindful of your environment. Pay attention to where you are, what you're doing, where you're putting your feet, what is in your environment, what obstacles are in the way. And that was my mistake, that I was not paying attention, and my mind was somewhere else. So, you know, I talk a lot on this program about mindfulness and mindfulness meditation and practicing mindfulness meditation, spending some time every day focusing on your breathing, being in the present moment is a good practice because when you get used to doing that, you're really training your brain to be more mindful in various situations, including more mindful while you're walking. And that is a huge preventive method for falling. Being aware, staying in the moment. It's very important when you're driving, and it's important when you're doing many other activities, when you're in the kitchen and you're cutting with a sharp knife. You want to be aware of what you're doing rather than thinking about something else, right? You're using a sharp tool. You need to be aware of what you're doing. Stay mindful and practice mindfulness meditation to relax. Because when you're stressed out, you're more likely to not be in the present moment. So it kind of is circular. If you don't stay in the present moment, you're likely to not be able to relax. You feel more distressed when you're not in the present moment. And and being in the present moment, not being in the present moment will lead to more stress. So there we go. I think I said the same thing twice, but in any case, relax, because if you're relaxed, there we go, if you are relaxed, you're more likely to be able to be in the present moment. So being not in the present moment leads to anxiety, and anxiety leads to more mindlessness. So the same goes for being mindful. All right, so I think I've spoken enough about that topic. And before Ragtop calls in, the musical duo Rag Jim Oliphant, let me talk a little bit about gratitude, because this is the week of Thanksgiving. And so during the week of Thanksgiving and on Thanksgiving, we usually think about what we're thankful for. And I think especially during these stressful times that we find ourselves in this country, in this world, a lot of stress in the world right now, and I've spoken about that before. And one of the ways of decreasing stress and improving our energy and our vitality is by having gratitude. So this is perfect, the perfect time to practice gratitude. For example, rather than stressing about the fall that I took, this is just an example, thinking about how grateful I am that I didn't injure myself. That leads to feeling happier. Well, if I think about, oh my goodness, I could have really hurt myself, then it leads to more stress. Having an attitude of gratitude is a really powerful way to help to maintain our equilibrium in the midst of the storms all around us. And the reason that this works is because when we focus attention on what we really feel thankful for, no matter how small that thing might seem when compared to all the big things that are going on around us, it changes our perspective and even our reality and brings about more of what we feel grateful for into our lives. So by focusing on things that we feel grateful for, we actually bring in more things to be grateful for. And if you've ever watched or listened to Oprah Winfrey, then you might have heard her speak of her regular practice of writing in her gratitude journal, because as she stated, what you focus on expands. So she found that when she started a gratitude journal, I believe that she writes in it every night, that she started to feel happier and began having more things in her life that brought her more happiness. And you can even view this in a spiritual sense. So if you think that way, if you have that spiritual way of viewing the world, the universe wants to grant us more of what we're grateful for. And looking at it from a logical, psychological perspective, it has the same outcome. Focusing our attention on being mindful of the positive that is in our lives changes our frame of mind. So as a result, it puts us into a better frame of mind, which makes us more open to receiving more of what we feel good about. And it changes our attitude in interacting with the world and with other people in the world so that we create more of what we want. And people want to give us more of what we want. So by changing our attitude, we get more of what we want because people want to be around that positive attitude. And furthermore, having gratitude helps us to create more positive relationships with other people and with ourselves. When we feel gratitude, it makes us want to treat ourselves better. It makes us want to treat our loved ones better, and it makes us interact with the world in a more positive way, and thereby improves our lives tremendously, a thousandfold. being grateful for what we have is a way of treating our body, our mind, our spirit, and our community with love, and it turns our attitude into a more optimistic one, even when things are chaotic around us. And there was actually research about this, so I'm going to end with a little bit of research so that it isn't just all this fluff that I'm talking about. Dr. Robert Emmons, a professor of psychology and a researcher at the University of California, Davis, did extensive research in the area of the effects of gratitude on our emotional and physical well-being. And his overall finding has been that gratitude is what gives life meaning. So that's pretty big. Among his experimental findings, he found that people who kept gratitude journals felt better physically and they felt more optimistic and in a better mood. In addition, they were more likely to progress, so they increased more things to be grateful for, and they were able to improve their relationships and improve their health by keeping a gratitude journal that they wrote in every night. And as Dr. Emmons also found, having an attitude of gratitude is not something that just comes naturally. We actually have to make a conscious effort to cultivate it, most of us. So one of the recommendations that he made based on his study is to keep an attitude journal. And I recommend, if you don't want to keep an attitude journal, if you think that just seems too strange or whatever reason, just write down on a piece of paper 3 to 5 things every day that you feel grateful for. And the act of writing it down helps to draw our attention to it more. So, and it causes us to actually have to do the work when we write it down, to think of what we're grateful for. And they can be small things. They could be something delicious that you ate during the day, or a pleasant conversation that you had with somebody during the day. They don't have to be huge things that you feel grateful for. Even the small things can have a big effect on us when we focus on how grateful we are. But they also can be big things, such as spending time with your loved ones, or getting hugs from your child or your grandchildren, or your friend or your parent or your sibling or your partner. And they can be really big, such as gratitude for life itself. So this is Thanksgiving week. This is a good week to try it. I recommend trying it for a week. Write down what you're grateful for, 3 things that you're grateful for every day, 3 to 5 things every day, and see how you feel after a week. All right, so on that note, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Oliphant of the musical duo Rag Go Anywhere. We will be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpell.com. And now joining us from Roanoke, Virginia, once again, Jim Oliphant of the musical duo Ragtop. And Ragtop is a regular musical guest on our program, and now they're back. Welcome, Jim. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you, Dr. Carpel, for having us back on. Renee's here with me this evening, too.
Oh, good great. Evening. Good evening, Renee. So glad to have the two of you back. How have you been doing? What's new?
Well, it's been a good year again. We're about 200 shows this year, maybe a little over that, which seems to be about what we do. We've been working on a new CD project, which has probably been the biggest thing going on right now. We've done some media kind of preparing for that, and appreciate you having us back on the show. CD's coming along really well, and we're looking for a release date after the first of the year, and that's kept us pretty busy this year.
Great. So how many CDs do you have out now?
Well, this will be our second one, I guess. Yeah, our second official CD. We did a lot of smaller projects, but I guess this will be our second official CD.
Okay. All right. And you're performing a lot, it sounds like.
It keeps us busy. We enjoy it quite a bit, though. It's about 200 shows a year right now.
Wow. Is it mainly around where you are at Virginia?
Yeah, it's still pretty regional, I guess. Into North Carolina, Virginia, a little into West Virginia, with an occasional trip out to the Midwest. But mostly it's just regional in the Virginia area.
Okay. All right. So I know you sent us some music. So we're going to play a little bit of Hit the Road, Jack.
All right.
Just a little snippet of it. So stay on the line and we'll come back and talk to you a little more.
Sounds good.
And don't you come back no more. And that's what I said, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. Now play it for me, honey.
All right, so that was just a little snippet, since it's a cover song. So when did you record that?
We've been recording on and off throughout most of the summer. We had started the project actually last year, and we changed course on it. We made some changes about what we wanted to do with the project and how we wanted to record it, and we've been working with a local studio. That particular song, big fan of Ray Charles, and we cover that one with a loop station. I play the guitar on it, and I loop the rhythm. It's really cool. It lets me play back the rhythm after I play it, and then the percussive sound is a kind of a guitar scratch, so that's looped in as well. And after I build those layers, it continues to play that back. I can riff the lead out over that while Renee sings. So it adds a really interesting dimension to it, but it's all acoustic and it's all live. So it's an interesting way to twist, because there was so much piano and horns and everything else in that originally, but it's really fun to perform it like that, and it gets a good response.
So you recorded that live?
No, that one was actually in the studio we're doing the LP at. We're working at a studio called Fainting Goat Studios in Bedford, Virginia, and it's been a good experience. Now, our first CD we recorded in our home studio, and took an entirely different approach with it, and really was happy with what we had. But this time, as we started to conceptualize the second CD, it just seemed like the studio was the place to go, and this is a fellow musician that's a friend of ours as well, and he's got a great studio to work with. He knows what we're after for our sound, which was really important, and the studio allowed us to do some things, I think, and have some freedom for me that we didn't at home. I was doing a lot of the recording, producing, everything at that point, engineering, everything. Nice to just go in as a musician and have that kind of approach to it. And with the studio, we're not we're really not trying to overproduce the album. We don't want, you know, it's all real. It's Renee singing. The harmonies on it are her singing her harmony parts. The guitar parts are me. There's nothing synthesized, nothing fake. It's what Joe Walsh called the mojo. It's the real thing, you know, with all the good parts and the bad parts, and everything is all there, but it's part of the, like, capturing the live music experience in the studio as best we can, so that if you come out to see one of our shows and you've heard our CD, you've got that experience. You know, it's not going to be, like, overproduced to the point that if you come hear us, it's not the same people I heard on the CD. We want you to be entertained live, entertained on the CD with that same experience as best we can.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in terms of performing live, do you have a calendar where people can see where you're performing?
Yeah, our spot to check us out there, starting point, is our website. It's myragtop.com, and that's just like myragtop.com. We have our schedule on there. It's completely current. It's always updated. The schedule is an interactive one, too, that gives information about the venue, directions, ways to share it. The website's got a lot of content on it. Worked really hard on building that. So there's a lot of you can listen to other samples of this CD that we're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, full past CD is available. You can get it as a single track or a CD. We've got videos of our television appearances from last several years on there. Lots of different things. Some of the information about some of the charities that we work with in the area. So website's a good jumping off point to learn more about us, but definitely to check out our schedule and see if you can catch a show.
And you say that your shows are mainly around the Virginia and surrounding states area?
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic area there. Yeah, Mid-Atlantic of North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia.
Okay.
Expanding out a little bit in the next year, but it's been good. The theme of your show, The Golden Years, so much captures us. We started this about 10 years ago, and we're going to be approaching 60 pretty soon, and it was a complete turnabout for our golden years as far as what we were doing before was so different. But doing the music together has been a necessity because of Renee being diagnosed with lupus. And it became then something that from that point forward just became something we really embraced. And it's been a wonderful kind of rebirth for us at this time in our lives to go into our golden years, enjoying the music, performing, being together like this. And it's been a good time.
That's wonderful, because, you know, I like to talk a lot on this program about people following their dreams, and it's never too late to follow your dreams and really enjoying life, and it's really great to hear that you're doing that.
It's been a wonderful adventure, and I had friends that told us, you know, just try it, and our family was so supportive. We have three adult children here in the area as well, and they said the same thing. They said, go for it, Mom and Dad. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you're back where you started. But what's the best that could happen is it works for you guys and you get to pursue this dream. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic opportunity, and it's been good for us. And this CD has been a really good growth thing for us, too. We're excited about the music, and we've given you, I think we've sent down four or five samples of some of the tracks. We've got six complete now. And the artwork for the CD is complete as well. And we've started a crowdfunding program, too, with it to try to finish some parts of it. But we'll be completing it with or without the crowdfunding. But we like to share that as long as we get an opportunity to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we do have another Art has uploaded another little snippet of your music, another sample, Wicked Game.
Okay.
So we're going to play that before you go.
All right.
So stick around, and we're going to play a little bit of Wicked Game.
Okay.
And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. Now I don't want to fall in
Beautiful. That's one of my favorite songs.
Thank you. It's an awesome song. It's got such an netherly feel to it. We looped that one as well. When we performed that live, you're getting the same thing you do, what you just heard. I put the rhythm down to that and the bass track where I'm playing that live, and then the pedal lets me record it as I play it and play it back. And then I add the bass track and it does the same thing. Then I'm able to play additional rhythm, lead, and fill parts while Renee sings on that. So I've always liked that song, and it actually is one of our biggest requested songs, and we were basically asked that we're going to do a CD again. Please put that on there. So that's why we chose that one for this CD.
Yeah, very nice. I like the way it sounds. How can people get involved with your crowdfunding?
Sure. If you jump on our website again at myragtop.com, it's a great place to start. The main page that comes up, you'll see the very first thing is the information about our CD project. It's going to say Ragtop's new CD, and we've titled it Route 460. That's because we were driving on Route 460 in Virginia one day and realized we spent most of the last 10 years on that road. And we just started to talk about the CD and what we've been doing for this 10 years, and the concept just happened. And we went with this theme, and we were able to find a vintage gas station that had been restored, and it's part of our cover art. It's all really cool. You can see it there if you go to myragtop.com, and there's a link to the crowdfunding campaign. It's on Indiegogo. And what the crowdfunding allows you to do is, if you'd like to get involved in the finishing of this product, we're providing different perks, like autographed copies of the CD. You're basically pre-ordering some of our brand-new Ragtop T-shirts. We've got studio time. We're giving away home concerts. We've got some cover art, some digital downloads, lots of different ways that you can be rewarded for participating in that. And if you click on the link, it'll take you right to that to let you see what's happening with that. And then the link also has some more samples of the music that's going to be on the CD. And it's great to see what it's about, give you a chance to pre-order it. And if you'd like to get more involved, for anyone in the Mid-Atlantic area, one of the perks we're giving is to come into the studio and to get a behind-the-scenes four-hour session with us. So we tried to make it all the way from someone just wanting to maybe contribute $10 or $15 to say, I'd like to help with the project and be a part of all this, to somebody that really would like to get involved at maybe an executive producer level and even a corporate sponsorship. So lots of different things you can do it, but you can see it all right there if you start at myragtop.com, and you can check out where we're playing, and there's a way to contact us there if you've got more questions, like to see about booking us where you're at or for one of your events. It's a great way to get a hold of us.
Great. So I'm going to, as usual, I'm going to post that on my web post about this program. So if people miss the information, they can just go right there and click on it. And that sounds great. And good luck to you. It sounds like, you know, you're really busy, things are going well, and I wish you the best of luck in the coming year.
Well, thank you so much. We get this released and get it out. We'll touch base again. We'll be sure to get a copy down to you, and we appreciate you having us back on the show.
Yes, please do. Yes, and I look forward to talking to you again. Keep doing what you're doing.
Sure will. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
All right, you too. And have a good evening.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. So before we go off the air over here, let me let you all know what's happening next week right here on Dr. Mara Carpell and Your Golden Years. Next Sunday, November 27th, right after Thanksgiving, we'll be here for another program. We'll be live on Sunday, November 27th, and Meg Pearson, originally from Canada, who has followed her dream to beautiful Costa Rica, where she works as an executive chef for Wellness Warrior Retreats and a cooking instructor, creating healthy and delicious food while embracing life in paradise, will be joining us from Costa Rica to talk about following her dreams, embracing life while remaining healthy. And photographer and astronomy expert Jonathan Sabin will join us from Florida to talk about his life in photography, graphic art, and as a staff astronomer for the Bishop Planetarium, as well as the producer and performer of their laser light shows. So that'll be interesting. And, of course, Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and we will have more to be announced. And if you want to hear this evening's program again and read the information from this program and get all of the website links that we talked about on the program, all of that will be posted on my website later this evening. Go to drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, for all of the latest information about upcoming shows and to read my Huffington Post blog. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. And this program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Coastal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Meredith Hammonds, Jim and Renee Oliphant of Ragtop, and of course, thank you, Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.